Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of Sovereign Grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to Psalm 146. And our text is going to specifically be verse 5. We'll look at the whole psalm, but verse 5 says this: Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. The title of this message is Happy in the God of Jacob. What a wonderful place to be. Happy in the God of Jacob. Now, I want to begin by saying this. Outside of the God of Jacob, there's nothing to be happy about. Nothing at all. Outside of the God of Jacob. But in the God of Jacob, we have everything to be happy about. There's nothing to be sad about. One man said, I haven't heard any bad news since I heard the good news. Well, verse 1 says, Praise ye the Lord. What a wonderful way to begin a psalm. Praise ye the Lord. The translation of those four words is hallelujah. I love that word. Hallelujah. When the Lord brings great joy and great thankfulness, great happiness, great love to our hearts, there's only one word that expresses that perfectly, and it's hallelujah. I love that word. But unfortunately, many people turn that word into an outward show. They throw their hands up and they sway back and forth, and when we do that, really we're just bringing attention to ourselves. True praise comes from deep in the heart. Deep in the heart. It's not an outward thing. It's an inward thing. There's a song that says, We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for the Lord Jesus Christ who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us, Lord. That is a prayer from the heart. Lord, revive us, all of us, if it be thy will. Well, verse 1 here in Psalm 146 says, Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You need to praise the Lord. That's what this is saying. You need to praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say, Praise the Lord, O my soul. I need to praise the Lord. We all need to. We all have to. Thanks be to God if we all want to. If He's made us willing. If we do, it is He that made us willing. Otherwise, we would not. Verse 2 says, While I live, will I praise the Lord. The Lord. There is only one whom we praise. There is only one whom we give honor to and glory to. The Lord Jesus Christ. While I live, will I praise the Lord. By His grace, and by His work, verse 2 goes on to say, I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. He's the God of all. Every knee must bow. Well, verse 3 says, Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Let's not put our trust in any mortal man. Because the scripture says, All flesh is grass. It's all grass. Let's not put our trust in any politician. Now, there's a few I actually like, but they make promises that they can't keep. That's the problem. Let's not put our trust in any economic business mogul to help us keep our jobs. It is God who gives the increase. And let's not put our trust in any religious leader. Any religious leader. The scripture says all flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. Grass that's going to be cut down. All men are sinners, starting right here. Right here. This man right here is a sinner. All men, the scripture says, are liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. They cannot help. Don't trust in them. You'll be disappointed. You'll be disappointed every time. The true God-sent religious leader, the true servant of God, points men and women to Jesus Christ. They say, trust Him. Trust Him. They would never say, trust me. You just need to trust me. No, what they say is, I'm just a man. Just an earthen vessel like you. I'm just a sinner. Don't look to me. Look to the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. That's what God's true servant said. John the Baptist, the man sent to prepare the way. They said, what's your name? And he wouldn't answer them. He said, I'm just a voice. That's all. They said, are you the Christ? He said, no, I'm not the Christ. They said, are you that prophet? He said, no, I'm not that prophet. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. He was preaching, someone's coming. Someone's coming. And all of a sudden, here comes the Lord of glory. And John said, behold the Lamb of God. Look to Jesus Christ. That's a true servant. That's a true servant. Put your trust in Him and not in any man. Why? Psalm 146 verse 4 says, His breath goeth forth. Man's breath goeth forth. What that means is, he dies. His breath leaves his body. It says in verse 4, He returneth to His earth. From dust He came, to dust He goes back. And it says, in that very day, all of His thoughts, it says, His ambition, all of His intentions, His thoughts, perish. Let's not put our trust in anything that can be so quickly gone. Look down at verse 10 if you have your Bible open. It says, the Lord shall reign forever. The Lord shall reign forever. I love Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He's unmovable. He's unshakable. He's immortal. He is our rock. He's our foundation. He's our fortress. He's our God. And verse 5 in Psalm 146 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know, it's amazing to me that the word God and the word Jacob can even be in the same verse. The high and holy God and the low and vile sinner. Happy is he who has the God of sinners for his help. Happy is the person that has the God that helps sinners. Oh, that's a happy person, because all are sinners. Look at Psalm 144, verse 15. It says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy. Happy. Now, our text in Psalm 146, verse 5, it says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. But here's the question. Why? Why? Why are we sinners who have the God of Jacob happy? Well, Psalm 146 gives us 10 reasons to be. 10 reasons to be happy in the God of Jacob. Here's the first one. Verse 6 says, he made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is. To get straight to the point, he is able. Look at everything he's made. He is able. He can do what he says he will do. If a sinner needs help, he's able. He is able to deliver thee. He can take out of us a heart of stone and create in us a new heart. He is the Creator. He created all things. Now here's something we must know. He can destroy all things. He's able to do that as well. And he's plainly said, I'm going to destroy everything and everyone who does not cry out for mercy and help. If God be for us, who can be against us? But if God be against us, who can be for us? Somebody's going to hear that and say, God's not against anybody. God's not against anybody. Well, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 5. If you have your Bibles open, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 5. Verse 5 says this, thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. And she hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes. They have not walked in them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, and will execute judgments in the midst of thee, in the sight of the nations. Against thee. He goes on to say in verse 11, wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things, and with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee. Neither shall mine eye spare, neither will I have any pity. Man. And the Lord goes on to say more and more judgment to Israel. But look at this. This is mercy. Ezekiel chapter 11, just a few chapters later, in verse 16, he said, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. He said, everything I created and gave to you, you defiled it, you destroyed it, you ruined it. So he says, I'm going to create all things new. Your heart has been defiled, so I'm going to give you a new heart. Your spirit has been ruined, so I'm going to create a new spirit in you. You've gone astray, so I'm going to gather you. And he says in Isaiah chapter 65, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Here's what makes a sinner happy. Happy. It's hearing him say, I create all things new. A sinner says, I've ruined everything. I've sinned against God. I've destroyed it all. And hearing him say, I'm going to create all things new. And I've prepared a place for you. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Here's the second reason. Psalm 146 verse 6 says, he keepeth truth forever. Our Lord said unto his Father, thy word is truth. He keeps his word. He keeps his promise to his people, to the remnant, to those that God gave to him. Psalm 119 says, thy law is the truth. Thy commandments are truth. He kept them. He kept all the commandments. He kept all the laws for his people. His people couldn't, so he did it for them. And in the Gospel of John, he said, I am the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'm so glad he keepeth truth forever. Why are we sinners happy? Here's the third reason. Psalm 146 verse 7 says, he executeth judgment for the oppressed. An oppressor is someone who rules in a cruel way. The oppressed are those under cruel bondage, pressed upon. That word means defrauded. It means violated. Those gotten deceitfully, deceived, helpless. He's the help of the helpless. He's the savior of sinners. Verse 7 says his people are happy because he giveth food to the hungry. David said, I have been young and now am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. But he gives something to the hungry that's far more important than bread. He said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if they hunger after that spiritual food, they shall be filled. They shall be filled. He gives food to the hungry. Spiritual food. Now, we're asking the question, why are we happy? Well, let's ask this question. How can sinners saved by grace not be happy? Just look at this one verse, verse 7. Our Lord God executes judgment for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. And it says, the Lord looseth the prisoners. He said, the Lord hath anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. How? How can he do this? We're sinners. We're guilty. How can he do this and still be just and still be fair and still be right? If we're in prison, we're there for a reason. If we're prisoners, it's because we deserve it. How can this be possible and legal for a guilty man like me? Because God is just. God is holy. God is righteous. It must be done legally. How can this be? Well, there's a song that says this. There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame has brought me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus ransomed me. That means he bought me. That means he paid my debt. He paid my price with his own blood. He owns me now. The song goes on to say, hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free. By God's grace, I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ ransomed me. He ransomed me. This was no jailbreak. He paid my price. He did it out in the open for all to see. There's another song and it says this, alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sovereign die? Now here's the question of amazing grace. That song goes on to say, would he devote that sacred head, Christ, for such a worm as I? Oh, that's amazing grace. Psalm 146, verse 8 says, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. That song we were just quoting continues by saying, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by grace I received my sight, and now I am happy. I'm happy, I'm so happy all the day. The Lord opened the eyes of this spiritually blind man. I was blind to the truth. I was blind to God. I was blind to Christ. I was blind to my sin. Everybody knows they're not perfect. Everybody knows that. But the Lord God has to open our eyes to see just how vile we really are, or we'll never see it. We will never see it. But if He does open our eyes, if He does it, and if we see Christ crucified, then we're going to see the hope of glory. We'll see the way. We'll see the truth. We'll see life. Eternal life. Verse 8 says, the Lord raiseth them that are down. raiseth them from the grave. He's the giver of life. He quickens the dead. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." I was dead. He gave me life. I was down. He raised me up. From sinking sand, He lifted me. With tender hand, He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise His name. Hallelujah. He lifted me. And I'm just so happy about that. Well, verse 8 goes on to say, "The Lord loveth the righteous." That centurion that was at the foot of the cross when they hanged the Lord of glory, probably the same centurion that pierced his side with a spear. It says, whenever he saw the Lord give up the ghost, when he watched Him die, when he saw Jesus Christ crucified, he said, "Surely this is a righteous man. This is a righteous man." There's only one man who is righteous, and that's Jesus Christ. And I'm happy about the fact that God the Father loves him. He loves him so much, He gave him a gift. And we sinners are that gift. We are a present from God the Father to God the Son. And our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, said to His Father, "All that Thou hast given me, I've kept. Father, I love You so much. And I love the gift You gave me so much. Because it's You who gave it to me, I'll keep them. I'll keep them." He hasn't lost one. He hasn't given away one. He hasn't destroyed one. Verse 9 says, "The Lord preserveth the strangers." He preserveth them. The Lord said concerning His people, "They are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world." God's people are pilgrims and strangers in it. And I'm happy to say the Lord preserveth the strangers. Verse 9 says, "He relieveth the fatherless and widow." How does He do that? He gives the fatherless a father. That man who was sick of the palsy, his friends lowered him down on a rope right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, "Son, son, be of good cheer." That woman who had an issue of blood, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort." He gives the fatherless a father. And He gives the widow a husband. He said, "I am My beloved's, and My beloved's is Mine." Well, verse 9, He said, "The way of the wicked He turneth upside down." But verse 10 says, "The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord."
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.